It's 11 o'clock. It's Sunday night. It's WGBB Freeport. It's Dave's Gone By. It's too late to change the dial. You're stuck. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, whirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Damerhood. Welcome, welcome, everybody, on this Sunday evening, August 24th, 2008, to the 288th episode. Yes, we've done 288 of these somehow, of Dave's Gone By. On WGBB Freeport, I'm Dave Lefkowitz, and tonight's episode is going to be kind of fun. It's going to be one of those things where it's eclectic the way I like it to be, in the sense that it's a mix of comedy, talk, radio, music, interviews, all that sort of thing. That's what we like to do. We like to keep it fluid and all sorts of different stuff happening. So, first part of the show, we're going to have a special guest. He is a singer-songwriter and a theatrical and cabaret composer. His name is Jeremy Schoenfeld, and he's hasn't had a Broadway show yet, but he'll be working on one pretty soon. Can't really give most of the details on that. But he has had some off and off-Broadway stuff done. He's done a lot of cabaret work and stuff on CDs and with other singers. So we're going to be talking to Jeremy Schoenfeld about his career, his music, stuff like that. And then we'll be joined by my guest co-host Jeff Goodman, who has just walked in here looking rather disheveled tonight. Everything all right, Jeff?
I rather thought I sauntered in.
Oh, you sauntered? No, you've got, first of all, a bruise on your forehead, or some sort of redness. Were you, like, passed out on the steering wheel or something? It's almost, it's actually in the shape of a heart. You have this, this odd...
I'm hard on for you.
I always knew. Don't even... Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, by the way, this is the point in the program which, where we mention that
David
is married and straight.
Yes,
David is not gay.
Thank you very much. No, but were you rubbing your forehead or something like that? Or is it like bulbous? It's kind of like a redness bulbous.
Where? Here?
Here, like above the nose. It's interesting.
Hmm.
You have like an alien growing in your head. Cool.
Not that I know.
Probably a gay alien. Because remember,
right.
Dave's not gay. Okay, so, Jeff, livening things up here.
Well, it wouldn't be a love child or anything, would it?
It could be. I don't know. I guess people have regular sex, have a certain baby a certain way. If you give head, then something comes out of your head. I don't know what that even means.
It is. But I've only been thinking about sex recently, so.
Why have you been thinking about sex recently? Or, well, we all
well because I haven't been having it.
You know, this is going to be such a clean, nice show, and already I've been disgusting, and I don't know why. It just goes out the window when the clock ticks to 11. I get in front of the microphone, and I'm like, okay, what filthy things can I think of and share with America and the world at large? I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to waste too much time now, because the last 15 minutes of the show are going to go pretty much to you.
Yay!
Because after we get through with Jeremy Schoenfeld and his music and talking to him, we're going to talk to Jeff because he went to Las Vegas again. He goes, no, he goes every few weeks.
I love Las Vegas.
Yeah, he likes to gamble, gets a free hotel room because he likes to gamble, because he gets a free hotel room because he likes to gamble. And
exactly.
So, and he also likes to travel and likes to fly. So we're going to talk about that and also some fun stuff that happened as soon as he got back from Vegas. We have to tell the Payne story. Because that's one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard.
The Payne?
Oh, well, I'll remind you during the...
okay.
Because that's better, honestly.
Oh, Vegas. No, we can't tell
yes,
that
we
story.
We can't tell that story. We won't use
no, that. No, that was actually before I left for Vegas.
Oh, that was before. I thought it was as soon as you came back.
It was kind of a big Vegas send-off.
Oh, you folks, Trust me. Trust me. Hang out. Make sure you stay through the whole show because you've got to hear.
No, we're going to have to wait for another segment for that.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, because we've got to do our sponsors and then we got to get to Jeremy Schoenfeld. So, since we're here, Jeff, welcome, welcome. And
now I get the sponsor quiz again. Every week it's the sponsor quiz.
I can do the sponsor quiz, but then what else are you going to do during the intro to the show?
I don't know, but I keep forgetting about Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Yeah, well, how could you forget about Hewlett Minuteman
Press? Well, ever since Loman Shoes went out of business. I know.
Violin music. Yeah, I'll do a little violin music. You tell
us
about...
Well, Hewlett Minuteman Press is the copy kings of Broadway. And if you mention Days Gone By there, you get 10% off. Right, it is 10%.
Yes, it is 10% off.
Sorry, first time I actually got it right.
I put the violin bow down to answer that question.
Because I actually sometimes joke and say it's like 50% or 30%.
Which,
really,
no, you cannot do. It's 10%. Has been for a long time. People love it.
But Hewlett Minuteman Press is located in Hewlett right across from Loman's and next door to the dilapidated Loman's shoe store.
Yes. Exactly.
And they're wonderful people. What can I say? They have a brand new color copier. It's a great place.
Now, understand, all of you see Minuteman's all over Long Island. It's a huge thing. But they're, what do they call those things, where families own them?
They are franchise.
Franchise, thank you. And the Torong family has owned, that's Torong with a T, has owned Minuteman since the 1970s. They're really
great. And Dave and I have both used them.
Yeah, this is true. And they use me all the time, like the little slut that I am.
No, David, this is time where really become serious and tell our sponsors how wonderful they are. Because, in fact, this one is wonderful.
And what's another not-so-wonderful sponsor? They do parties and stuff like
probably
that.
Probably fancy-schmancy balloons.
Must be fancy.
We were giving away free stuff last week. No one called.
Well, it's the middle of summer. Everybody's out of town. So, this week, people are going to be going back to school. There's Labor Day parties, barbecues coming up. There's the Chabad Telethon in a couple of weeks. Folks, if you want to have a good party that looks great with decorations and table settings and things like that, you go to Fancy Schmancy Balloons and you call what phone number?
516-797-3229.
Again. You don't have to dial the actual cough there. It's just 516-797-3229.
Because I'm watching you take a drink of water and all I'm dying for is a drink of water.
Well, we'll get to commercial real quick. You'll get a drink of water.
Okay.
But seriously, Jeff is the owner and proprietor of Fancy Schmancy Balloons, and we may goof around a lot on
and
here.
And actually, I make it a lot more fun for you to have a party. I take a lot of hassle out of doing a party.
Exactly. Plus, you make it look great. You do not balloon animals. You make centerpieces.
I make centerpieces out of foam core balloons. But call me if you're having a party. Yeah, want to discuss a party, I'll tell you. If you don't use us, that's okay, too.
Aww.
But we'd rather you use us.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
I like to, feed myself occasionally.
And speaking of that, one of the ways that I feed myself, barely, these days in this economy, is by co-publishing a theater journal that has been around since long before I was born. It's called Performing Arts Insider.
And so you co-published it from the womb, huh?
No, it was embryonic. It was pre-embryonic. When I was a sperm,
it was prenatal.
I was already doing typesetting, so that was talented sperm.
Yes,
because my tail was really motile, and there were just a couple of letters that I couldn't reach. So
was that cute?
Had a couple of other suicidal sperms that helped me out. While I was driving towards the egg, so they landed.
I'm writing that avenue.
When I wrote it, it was Avenue W. Anywho, Performing Arts Insider, Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway for 65 years, everything that you want to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, dance, everything going on the stages of, of New York, Performing Arts Insider comes to you either 12 times a year, or you can even get it 21 times a year. That's how often it comes out. It's an expensive publication, but Dave's Gone By listeners get an amazing discount. So go to davesgoneby.org to find out more, or to find out more basically about the magazine, just go to performingartsinsider.com. Wanted to also remind everybody that if you're thrown into the show, you've been turning the radio on, you're like, what is this? We're listening to the sports show, and you have no idea what the hell this is, and you who am I? What's Jeff doing?
Don't touch that dial!
Don't touch that dial, but also, if you want to get a sense of what Dave's Gone By is, You can hear 25 older episodes of the show, recent episodes with famous celebrities and stuff like that.
But listen to this one first.
Well, yeah, you don't have to do it right now. You do it at 12:01 when we're done, or considering the time the gospel usually gets here, 12:10.
No, unless they want to listen to the gospel.
Yeah.
And then we'll pray for you.
Well, at some point, they're going to have to turn WGBB off.
Unless you know Chinese.
Yeah. Well, go get AM 1240 WGBB.com. Because in the archive section, which they only put up like 2 or 3 months ago, we now have bunches of Dave's Gone By episodes that you can listen to for free. Anytime at all, you can scroll through them if there's something you want to hear again, or God forbid you're bored by something. 25 episodes there at AM 1240.
How could they be bored by us?
Thank you. AM 1240 WGBB.com. And there's a link there from davesgoneby.org as well. Oh my God, it's 11:12. We're already running behind. Want to talk to Jeremy Schoenfeld? Want to hear about Jeff's trip to Vegas? We want to hear about Peng A. Believe me, you don't want to miss that. But first of all, gotta do some commercials. We'll be back. Meow! I'm not an ordinary cat. I'm a copycat. I love to make copies. So my favorite place is Hewlett Minuteman Press. For 3 decades, they've been on Broadway in Hewlett, printing booklets, making business cards, designing wedding invitations, and making millions of copies. Meow! How good is Minuteman? Hey, I used to have one life. Now I've got 9. Hewlett Minuteman on Broadway opposite Lohman's. Tell them Toner the Copycat sent you for 10% off. Do not adjust your scent. There's a rabbi on it. Me. Every Wednesday and Friday morning at 7:30 on Cablevision Channel 115. I'm Rabbi Sal Solomon, spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And my TV show tells you everything you ever wanted to know about Judaism, but were too staggeringly ignorant to ask. Shalom, damn it. 7:30 Wednesday and Friday mornings on Channel 115 or Channel 67 in Manhattan on Sunday afternoons at 1:30. Or anytime at all at YouTube.com. Shalom, damn it. Your prostate will thank you.
Thanks for coming here today. I really do appreciate it. Heck, I'm touched, what can I say? I've been practicing all week, well, my whole life to tell it true. See, I'm a storyteller, baby, telling my stories for you. Through every single draft of written words and notes I never wish I wrote. Received some compliment, thought then I've been turned down since God knows when. It's like I'm floating up the creek without a boat. I'm not a rebel or a saint, I'm just an artist trying to paint. So I sincerely hope you like my point of view, 'cause I will be a big success with nothing more and nothing less than just some time to tell my stories for you.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on WGBB Freeport. One of the kinds of people and talent that we tend to have on here, and that are my favorite kinds of folks to have on the radio show, are singer-songwriters, some of them from a theater idiom, people like Charles Bloom, whom we had a few weeks ago, and Ray Jessel we had a couple of months back. They're folks who work in the pop field, sometimes in the humorous, almost novelty field, but also in the theater field, creating music and creating the kinds of fun songs that you'll hear in theaters and on cabaret stages. And if you're lucky, if you can find the radio station that'll tuned to that kind of music on the airwaves, too. So we're devoting some of our airwaves tonight in the neighborhood to that kind of music with a fellow who's got a new CD out. It's called 37 Notebooks, which features a bunch of theater and cabaret people singing his songs. He's also done a show called Drift, and he's probably even better known for being one of the coordinators of the Broadway Boot Camp, and we'll be asking him about that as well. I am talking to Jeremy Schoenfeld. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thanks, man. So, yeah, a lot of stuff, a lot of things boiling, and again, how long have you been in the biz?
Well, I moved to New York in 91 to, of course, be the next Billy Joel, but also to do the BMI musical theater work.
Oh, you did the Lehman Engel thing.
Yeah, I did that when I first moved here in 91, and I did a couple of years of that as a very young man, and it was quite an introduction into the business, just being with a lot of these older veterans around me who really, you know, had much more knowledge of theater and in the background of theater than I did. I was just a storytelling kind of guy who just liked to tell stories, either through songs individually or through shows that incorporated several songs.
Yeah, I even want to sort of almost stop you right there.
Sure.
First of all, let people know who may not be really that into musical theater,
sure,
but this whole Lehman Engel BMI workshop thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to describe it, go ahead.
Basically, it's a very specialized program through BMI, the Musical Rights Organization, BMI, ASCAP, and CSAC, are the main three that all songwriters register their songs through.
In fact, I tried an ASCAP once, and it gave me hemorrhoids,
yeah,
so I don't do that anymore.
Don't ever recommend it. But BMI has a very special, specialized program for composers, lyricists, and librettists of theater, and it's difficult to get into, and it's kind of an honor to be a part of, and it's a very intensive program that lasts for a couple of years, and then you can also be part of the advanced workshop that goes on infinitely, really, if you want to keep going back years later.
If anybody saw the Broadway show A Class Act, beautiful, wonderful Broadway show, it sprang out of those workshops.
Yeah.
It was one of the guys who ended up crafting a chorus line because he did that.
Little Shop of Horrors is another one that came out of that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Who were the folks that, when you were going to the BMI workshop, who were some of your teachers, and who were some of the people that you were lumped in with learning?
Well, Mari Yeston is the big name from that. I was fortunate enough to work with him a bit. And, Skip Kennan was a teacher. He's written a couple of shows. I think that he had a recent show in the Nymph Festival, the New York Musical Theater Festival, a year ago or 2 years ago.
I've heard about that festival for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And I've never thought to call it the Nymph Festival.
I've actually been involved with that for the last... this is the first year I'm not doing anything with the festival. It's a nice break because it's a very crazy, chaotic thing when you have so much theater going on at once, but it's also fun.
Right.
I had a lot of contemporaries who've gone on, and many of them, of course, that weren't actually in my year, but a lot of people I know within the business who have done it, have been a part of it in one way or another. One of my contemporaries is Neil Berg, who has does a lot of major concerts all over the place. So for me, it was really a learning experience. It was like that boot camp experience where it's a very rigorous, assignment-driven writing thing, and a lot of times what you do is you learn a lot, and then you sort of unlearn it as well. You sort of learn how to incorporate what you learn into what you do, and not change necessarily what you do, but just add more tools to the arsenal.
When you came out of the BMI workshop, did you have that feeling that I guess I've had coming out of college, let's say? It was like, I've done this. I've got two musicals on the ready. I'm ready. No, producers call me. I'm ready for Broadway. And didn't it happen? What happened?
You know, it's interesting. I've personally had two lives in New York. One life, and they're kind of dictated by my marriages, really. I was married, and my previous album, Drift, which is a concept album about divorce and child custody, that was turned into a show, and is, you know, we're doing a big concert that I know that we're going to talk about
on November 3rd, right?
Yeah. That's sort of my first life, which includes the BMI program when I first moved here. Coming back to your question, I left the program feeling like, you know what, I have all of this stuff now. I really want to be the guy that plays and sings the songs. And then hopefully at some point, will settle into the musical theater community as a writer. And of course, that's not the way it works. You know, you're and fortunately so, because I think that as a writer, the challenges of writing theater or writing music of any kind, really, mm-hmm. On assignment or, you know, for something very specific, are really invigorating. And so I was very happy to be sort of pulled back in constantly and consistently. So you know, when I turned 30 and I reached sort of the second part of, you know, my life when I went through my divorce, and I really immersed myself back into the theater community through a show that I had written called Home, I was able to sort of touch back on a lot of the information that I had obtained in the program, also through my singer-songwriter years, and kind of all put it all together so that I could do a variety of things.
Well, it's funny. I was talking, as I mentioned just before, to Charlie Bloom,
yeah.
who was a friend of mine. We went to school together at NYU, and I asked him a question about the songwriting process, and he surprised me a little bit when he said that he loved writing for a musical, and found it much, much more difficult to write just a song, like in a standalone song for cabaret. Because musical is almost written for you. You know where the scene's got to go. You know where it is. You know who's in it and who's going to be singing it and why. It's almost like, okay, follow the numbers and there's your song. Whereas a song out of context for one little cabaret thing almost has to be a mini show by itself. It's got to come out there, hit on all four burners, and when it's over, it's over, and then the next one has to do the whole thing all over again.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way, or...?
I do. Well, it's an interesting thing, because, you know, obviously, as a writer, there are different songs, as you mentioned, there are different types of songs that you have to write, and some of them... I come from a very personal place as a writer, let's say, for myself, as a performer, and even for the writers, for the performers that I use on, say, 37 Notebooks, or... on other projects and things, I feel the similarity is that you have to basically put yourself in the character of the song. Billy Joel did that very, very well. You know, he was a guy who back in, you know, when he was really doing those great stories, and why Moving Out was such a successful show is because, you know, there's a guy who's a natural born storyteller. You listen to a song of his and, you know, it started, it had a middle and, you know, an ending. It had a whole arc to it. And I think that as a writer, that is, you are really a storyteller. Not every writer works that way, but especially in the theater
right.
and in cabaret, you know that is your responsibility to tell a story. And I think that it's the challenge really for me is more a personal challenge. When you have an assignment, and let's say you even have a deadline, you get stuff done, you know. But if it's just a song that you're writing, and the only person who knows whether you finished it or not is you, you know, you can just sort of sit there and write a few lines and say, I feel like a sandwich. And then, you know, and then walk away, and then 6 months later, you come back to it and say, oh, wow, I think I'll go have another sandwich. So, you know, these things, they sort of stew and cultivate over time, and, you know, gradually, if it's a song that's meant to happen... I don't want to go speak too ethereally there, but if it's a song that's meant to happen, you'll come back to it. You'll incorporate it into something else. That's kind of the theme of that 37 Notebooks, actually, sort of tying it into that. That's sort of the theme of what my notebooks are about.
What are a couple of the songs on 37 Notebooks? Let's re-explain that 37 Notebooks is a compilation of Jeremy Schoenfeld's songs performed by other people. People like?
And myself. Tracy Toms is a very good friend of mine. She's closing Rent right now, but she's also in the Rent movie, and she's on Cold Case, and she's been in all sorts of movies. My good friend, my friend Adam Pascal, who's
a Rent person.
Yeah. And he's actually coming in for November 3rd to do my big show. He's doing Drift with me now. But he sings, and Kate Schindel, who's a lovely singer, former, you know, Miss America, Legally Blonde, does a wonderful job. Julia Murney. I have two of the Green Witches, two Elphabas, Julia Murney and Shoshana Bean.
Nice.
And Shoshana I've worked with for years, since she used to work at Equinox, and I used to go to the gym there before she became the big star that she is. So, you know, I mean, I really, you know, the list
now,
goes
how
on.
Did this,
you know.
To get these people on, did they choose the songs they wanted to do, or did you say, you know, I think you would be so right for blah, 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 blah?
You know what, for the most part, I mean, I knew most of the people that I was working with. There are only a couple people on here I hadn't actually really worked with. I hadn't worked with Luther Creek on a song called Rock and Roll Fag.
Rock and Roll Fag.
Yes.
You know we're going to play that one right at the end of the segment,
absolutely.
That's for sure.
And it's great. And it's actually it's from a show.
What show?
It was a piece. I'm involved with something for years called the A-Train Musicals, these 24-hour musicals,
yeah.
And I was sort of like the de facto head composer, lyricist. You know, writing, you basically ride the train and write a show on the train and then put it up off book the next night,
right?
On the A-Train. Speaking of writing and having to get stuff done and learning how to put your ego at the door, that's the process you go through.
Well, they had the A-Train plays where they did it with plays and you get the actors and directors and 24 hours later, boom.
That's exactly
now,
it.
They're doing it, I guess, with musicals
as
well.
It's both. It's plays and musicals.
Oh,
now we
cool.
do it once a year. It started just, they did one time with plays and then they added musicals and sort of split the evening up.
Cool.
So now we did it. We did it at New World Stages recently in June as a benefit. And the last 3 years we've done it at the Altar Boys stage. But that was actually a longer version called Manhattan Bound, where I was set to task to write 8 songs over 6 days as the show was being written.
Whoa.
So the song Falling Apart and Rock and Roll Fag are both from that piece. So, you know, sometimes you get good stuff even if you have very limited resources and time.
Some of the best songs are written in half an hour.
Absolutely.
And the ones that you can labor over for weeks or come back, and then it's just like...
Yeah, exactly.
And you wonder where the inspiration is. Well, I'm inspired to hear Rock and Roll Fag. Is there anything that the FCC should be worried about here? Or
only the title.
That's okay.
It, really, I was telling you.
It's good. Fine. Well, I don't even know how to introduce this. So we'll just hear Luther Creek singing a song by our guest, Jeremy Schoenfeld, Rock and Roll Fag.
I saw this awesome documentary playing hip clips from the 70s. You know when Ziggy played guitar? It was the hair, the shoes, the glam, the booze, the yawn, slumblers in their glistening hues. They drew me in with their doe-eyed blues, and I dreamed of being a star, a rock and roll fag, queen of the rock and roll revolution. I'm an icon, baby, an institution. Nothing short of a miracle, inspiration. And I'll carry the torch for this rock and roll nation. Anybody was much too proud, had to make it on my own. But the road was long and the river wide, it was hard to cross to the other side. So I packed it in, let the passion die. Never felt so alone. A rock and roll fag, queen of the rock and roll revolution. Come, baby, an institution. Nothing short of a miracle, inspiration. And I'll carry the torch for this rock and roll nation.
Broadway theater has never been grander or more expensive. So, like any big purchase, you gotta do homework. You wanna pick the best show or the most family appropriate, the best reviewed or with the biggest stars or most interesting design. Everyone has different criteria. Performing Arts Insider answers them all. For decades, the Bible of Broadway that professionals check for every show on every New York stage. Visit PerformingArtsInsider.com and see DavesGoneBy.org for a 30% subscriber discount. Now go, do your homework. We're back with composer Jeremy Schoenfeld. Just before the break, we heard one of his songs performed by Luther Creek, Rock and Roll Fag. Hope you enjoyed that. So, again, going back to the whole process of songwriting, when did you realize that music was where you wanted to be and what you were going to do with your life?
Well, you know, it was very early on, actually. I've been writing since I was a kid, and, you know, and all the piano lessons that I took growing up. It was very natural for me to instead of really, really learning the stuff I was supposed to learn, to incorporate what I enjoyed into music that I was trying to create.
Right.
And that sort of became a very early on, an early process for me. And the and lyric writing, you know, as I sort of was able to form better sentences, I started writing those too. So, I was one of the only people I knew who really kind of always had the idea that that was it. You know,
from
I was a songwriter from get-go.
Theater
came a little later. Theater was high school. Just because I, you know, as a songwriter, someone asked me, they'd been doing some student-run musicals at the show. They said, you'd like to write one. So we kind of took what was more of a jokey form and actually wrote a real show. So so it was a natural fit for me to kind of do that and to, you know, incorporate that into my songwriting.
Yeah. It's obvious that one of your influences is Billy Joel, because we were just talking about it. What are some of the others, and what are the folks that you listen to now that people might be a little surprised that, oh, that's in your CD or your iPod?
Well, you know, when you listen to 37 Notebooks, one of the things about the album, and I was trying to do this also as a conscious effort, was, it is a wide variety of music. I mean, you know, Rock and Roll Fag has that 70s kind of rock and roll, Bowie, Ziggy Stardust kind of thing. But then you've got, I've got a lot of songs that are have that Nashville bluegrass, Alison Krauss type of influence. I admire her. I grew up on 70s rock. So, you know, when I get, influences for me, I love Paul Rodgers singing in Bad Company, for instance.
Okay.
Or, you know, but I also really... Jason Robert Brown and I kind of travel some of the same circles,
right.
And Adam Gettle, these are friends of mine, and so I really admire what they do. I'm all over the place. I love Electric Light Orchestra. I love what they did with their orchestrations. They're very lush, you know, super tramp harmonies that are lush with, you know, nice. Some of my production values when I approach an album or I approach a track will come from that kind of a lush place instead of more of a theatrical place.
And you wouldn't figure it would be necessarily right for Broadway, and yet one of the hits on Broadway is Xanadu, which is ELO, and I mean, it's old songs that people already know, but still, they're up there. Mamma Mia, one of the biggest hits on Broadway for years, is pop songwriting again, and Jersey Boys.
Of course, for me, of course, one of the first epiphanies as far as, you know, bridging the gap between theater and pop was when I heard that Chess soundtrack. You know, you're listening to that first track, Murano, and it goes from this very orchestral symphonic thing into this funky Murray Head-driven, you know, pop song. And you think, wow, you can do that? Oh, that's intriguing. So, you know, it can come from a variety of places, honestly. I can be inspired by little moments in songs, entire albums, one track, a vocal. I like a lot of different things, but I'm very specific with what I like, but I like everything.
Is the Broadway musical at a turning point, do you think? I think the past couple of years have really, something that Hair didn't quite do back in 1969, 70, 71, it didn't quite shift the whole paradigm of the, almost killed the musical in a way.
Yeah.
But now Broadway's really trying to incorporate all of it. So that you've got things that go into the pop range, like Wicked, and yet Wicked still sort of falls into an old-fashioned show in a way, almost. And, well, then you've got the real pop musicals like Xanadu and Mamma Mia, and then you've got the things that are really out there pushing the envelope a little more, like Passing Strange, but of course that was a terrible flop.
Yeah.
Marvelous music, but nobody went to see it. Where's Broadway Musical right now?
Well, it's, you know, it's an interesting place because and we'll also sort of see how that bears out over the next couple of years with the economy the way it is, because ticket prices are obviously still incredibly high, and they have to really maintain that kind of a, a lot of the stuff is sort of business driven. That's not very exciting for listeners to, to get into. Of course, things that, you know, sizes of orchestras and, you know, stagehands and all the stuff that goes into the background of a show and really is the expense of a show, which is why a show like Passing Strange is a hard show to make. Dollar-wise back. Even a show like Spring Awakening is not a huge success, even though one would think it is. It will become one, hopefully, but it's not like, it's not the financial success that some of the major, major pop shows like a Hairspray or Mamma Mia or Wicked are. I think you have an interesting movement. I mean, I know some of the young composers out there, and I believe that there are people definitely trying to elbow in and tell some interesting stories, and I think it's needed. I think it has to, theater has to coexist between between big flashier shows and shows that have, you know, something, maybe they're a little bit more intimate as far as the storytelling and as far as the rawness of the material, and I think that there are shows that are going to split the difference there. But if it just goes back to, let's say, the 80s, and it's just the big, huge, not to say that there's anything wrong with, you know, with the Miss Saigons of the world or shows like that, but I mean, a lot of people will hearken back to that as being the death of a lot of the smaller shows.
Right. And meanwhile, now we have title of show, which is as small as the Broadway Musical can possibly get.
Right.
And might be doing okay. It's going to be interesting to watch the box office on that.
I'll be very interesting to see how 13 does as well.
The Jason Robert Brown musical.
Yeah, right? You know, I mean, there's, you know, the behemoth that is Billy Elliot is about to drop on us, and that show will be huge. I mean, I don't think anybody else is going to even try to compete with that. It's like Batman.
There's going to be another Sunset Boulevard year where there won't even be anything else in the Tony categories.
You know, you might as well not drop a show until next year.
Wow.
Robert can put a show down, but
right.
But it's going to be huge.
Wow. Okay. Well, they're trying Tale of Two Cities.
I really hope for, because I know some of the guys that are behind that. These are guys who come from the acting background more than the producing background, some of these guys, and they've been working at it for a long time. So I don't know whether the show's going to be, you know, particularly successful artistically or not, but the set, apparently, and the lighting are something to see. That's what I've been hearing. Have you heard that?
Well, yeah, but, you know.
Whether that's enough, I don't know.
No, Mrs. Lincoln, besides that, how'd you like the...
Exactly.
Everything is iPod this and download that. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned CDs? Well, at Dave's Gone By, we're still making them. Nearly every episode we've ever done is preserved digitally on compact disc and for sale at davesgoneby.org. And at a new low price, $10 per show, shipping and handling included. Add $1 per disc for a personalized autograph and check davesgoneby.org for multiple discounts. P2P, MP3, CD, me.
Hello, this is Jeremy Schoenfeld, singer-songwriter and composer-lyricist, and you are listening to Dave's Gone By, WGBB in Freeport.
We're finishing our conversation with the talented and delightful Jeremy Schoenfeld. Personal stuff. You were married at one point. Are you married again? Second person?
Thank you. Yeah,
kids?
My wife, one of the tracks on the album, Sarah Jane, is about my wife. And I do have a daughter from my first marriage, Alexandra, who is a 11-year-old, lovely 11-year-old, living the Manhattan life.
I don't even live the Manhattan life, lucky kid.
Right. Although we live in Brooklyn as a, you know.
Is your wife a singer-actress kind of a thing?
She's not so much a singer, although she's an actress, yes. She's just more of a straight theater, TV, film actress.
Oh, cool. And you met?
We actually met at the Neighborhood Playhouse doing the A-Train show. She was in the program there, the two-year acting workshop, and they were interning for us as writers, and we met, you know, after one of my shows. She didn't realize I wrote one, and she said she liked the songs. I said, hey, I wrote those, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, and we ended up getting married on that stage.
Oh, Mazel Tov, that's great.
Thank you.
And so, last question for you. You can't give me the details, I realize that, but Broadway may be in your future? You're working on something Broadway bound.
I am working on a show. It's actually a very exciting project that based on a film that has a lot of fans. And,
Behind the Green Door?
No, exactly. Yeah, that's going to be amazing. Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that one. No, it's
Scream Blackula Scream.
Exactly. It's Batman. We're gonna compete with the Spider-Man musical.
There you go.
but no, it's gonna be and news should be coming forward with that in the next few months. So you'll hear, you know, look for that, and if you see Jeremy Schoenfeld, that's something you say, aha.
Oh, and speaking of seeing Jeremy Schoenfeld and hearing him, November 3rd. They're going to be doing Drift at the New World Stages, is it?
New World Stages, yes.
And the people involved in that, as you said, Adam Pascal, Julia Murney, Jared Emick, Terrence Mann. I mean, I'm sure they're adding more.
Sure, yeah. It's going to be a great big event. We're going to we're relaunching the CD, Drift, the original CD. We're remastering and remixing it, adding a couple tracks, and the songbook as well for it. So it's going to be a great evening.
But between now and then, if people want to find out what you're doing and where you're doing these benefits, can you give me your website and stuff like that?
Absolutely. If you go to www.jeremyschoenfeld.com, you can get all the information about, and it attaches you right to everything for purchasing materials to my MySpace account. You know, anything that has to do with me, and you can Facebook friend me as well, and we'll get you all the information there.
And just to be very clear, Schoenfeld is spelled without that extra E in there.
Schoenfeld. We removed the umlauts, but we didn't add the E. So Schoenfeld.
Jeremy Schoenfeld. com.
Correct.
And Jeremy Schoenfeld, real person, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave.
For being in the neighborhood.
My pleasure. Thank you.
She blew in like a twist. From the moment that I kissed her, I knew that everything I thought I knew, I really didn't know. She was like a sunny deep guaranteed, bright light shining right in front of me. See, we were meant to be from the get-go. Never was the hallmark hall of fame, rose petals spelling out your name. All of when romance, take another chance, love will be the answer kind of guy. I played the cool cat, yeah, whatever, like I was all that put together. Well, I tried, until Sarah, girl, you opened my eyes again. Now I'm there. Never thought I would die. I had another love before you know myself. Saw me right through those eyes. And then set me free from the chains that were screaming my searching. She rolled in like the thunder. Like the eighth freaking wonder, I can feel the energy shift lifting up the room. A smile in case he hesitates, case in the face, and when she sees my face, tacky as it sounds, I can feel my heart pounding boom. Never was a hallmark all of fame, rose petals standing out your name. All of friend romance, thinking of a chance, love will be the answer kind of guy. I play the cool cat, yeah, whatever, like I was all that put together. Well, I tried. Until Sarah, girl, you opened my eyes again. Now I'm there. Never thought I would die. I did not forget it, for you know myself. Saw me right through those eyes again. From the chains that were straining my Sarah Jane, all that time's been complaining, yeah. All the anger, frustration, and pain. I was lost, so you're found. Now you love and surround me. You're the sunshine that dried up the rain. Sarah, girl, you open my eyes again. Now I'm where I never thought I would fly. I had never been a bucket of myself. Saw me right through those eyes. And then
Moby Dick, Ulysses, War and Peace, the Bible. Big freaking deal. If you want to read a real book, a funny book, try Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, a collection of comedies by Dave Lefkowitz, me, the host of Dave's Gone By. Each play is stage-tested and relatively safe for public consumption. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, available from Holvo Books on the Dave's Gone By website. It's the great American something. And you are listening to the great American radio program, ladies and gentlemen, Dave's Gone By, on this station since October of 2002. I'm Dave Lefkowitz here with you, and I've got my guest co-host Jeff Goodman with me, and we blocked off like this segment of the show tonight to have Jeff give us a bit of a taste of his life, as it were, and what he does, which is every couple of weeks, actually.
Every couple of weeks. I do it about 4 to 5, maybe 6 times a year.
All right, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't been to Vegas in a long time. But I do enjoy Vegas. I enjoy the...
Into the mic.
I think that... Well, I'm thinking. That's why I'm pointing my head down. I don't know why.
Because you have to let the brains slide forward into the forehead, yeah.
So,
Your forehead does look better, by the way, than it did. It's whatever you had, that bump, that tumor-gasm thing is much, much better. It's still there, but I thank God. So, not thank God it's still there. Thank God it's better. But anyway,
well,
you love Vegas because...
Why
do you love Vegas?
Oh, it's glitzy, glamour, gaudy. I just love that kind of crap.
Okay. It's Leslie put. Don't be eating while we're on this.
I need a cough drop, otherwise I will be coughing all over the...
Got it. Okay.
I have a Ricola.
Ricola. So... You go to Vegas.
Oh, wait, if we did an advertisement, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah, well, no, they'll love the free advertising. Just
call them up. Let's get some free recall at least.
Speaking of free, one of the things you get is a free hotel room.
Well, I do enjoy my little gambling, but I don't necessarily gamble a lot. I spend a lot of time at the tables, but...
You don't spend a whole hell of a lot of money.
Right. I'm fairly lucky. Uh-huh. I don't really make, but sometimes I make a little bit, sometimes I lose a bit. But I don't really lose gobs and gobs.
Thank God. No, especially not in this economy.
Otherwise,
yeah.
I wouldn't like Vegas as much as I do. But, so anyway, I just like everything about Vegas. I don't know what.
You liked everything about Vegas this time, except this one dealer who...
Oh. Well,
that's the story, first of all, I wanted you to tell.
Okay. Well, first let me tell you the story of the reservations. It'll be very quick.
Okay.
I used to get a ton of free stuff from Sam's Club, Sam's Town.
Mm-hmm.
Sam's Club is the Walmart thing. Sam's Town is the thing in Vegas. So,
there's no gambling at Walmart. It's, but you go, you see the product. It's
well,
like,
it depends.
I bid
$5.99. It depends on what you buy.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
yeah.
I used to get all this stuff from Sam's Town.
Uh-huh.
And they stopped sending me all these things. I'm not sure why. I had a big discussion with them, and hopefully that's now solved. But... I spent the last time I went with my friend's mother, and we stayed at the Harris chain. So we stayed in the Imperial Palace.
Okay.
And I got like 50 offers for them. I said, great.
When you say offers, you mean?
Offers for free rooms and food and comps and
concubines, all that sort of thing.
No, 2-for-1 tickets to the improv, 2-for-1 tickets to Nathan Burton, all this stuff. So. I called them up and I said, I'd like to stay at the Imperial Palace. They offered me up to 3 days. I took two because it couldn't be a weekend.
Okay.
And then I called up Sam's Town. I figured I'd get like the rest of the time there. And they said, no, you're only qualified for 2 days. And I'm like, wretched. Wasn't really happy with them. But eventually, so I didn't take anything from them at last. And they go around and they say, I see this place, this thing came in the mail from Terribles. Yeah, Terribles.
Can you imagine having a hotel called Terribles?
Hotel and casino.
Yeah.
So this hotel casino is named Terribles. It's just off the strip, and I went there. I only went there one time. I gambled there for about 3 hours. I didn't really like it too much, and I left.
This was before. This is a previous.
This is about a year before.
Okay.
So I never thought about Terribles. So I see this oversized, postcard that I got in the mail. I said, let me call Terribles and see what's up. I was going to buy a room on the State Line in Jen. Gen Nevada, which is on the California state line.
Okay.
I hadn't been there, so I wanted to check that out. But anyway, I called him up, and he goes, oh, you want the weekend? No problem. And they offered me a weekend before any of the others that I stayed at.
Nice.
So I said, okay, I'll sit and I'll go to Terrible's, and you know, I'll deal with that.
Turns out Terrible's was not so terrible.
So I didn't call Sam's Town. I got to Sam's Town first 2 days. Everything was fine at Sam's Town. And then I came in and I left Sam's Town, went to Terrible's. And I'm like, you know, I'm ready to, I just want to be nice, give me whatever room you want, blah, blah, blah. And so I get in the room. The room is gorgeous.
Okay.
I mean, big king-size bed. It has just the way I like it. I like when the sink is not in the bathroom as the door closed.
I beg your pardon?
The sink,
I like my sink in the hallway.
The bathroom?
I like to touch
the
doorknob after I pee.
No, there's a bathroom area.
Yeah.
But you can like, see everything from the sink, whereas if you're going into the shower or you're going on the toilet, there's a door. It's a separate room. So I kind of like that for some reason in hotels, and I had that. Had a giant flat-screen TV, and the first night I was there, it was the first night of the Olympics. I saw the Olympics. And then I figured, oh, well, you know, I slept during the day. I watched the Olympics all night. So now it's like 5 in the morning. I said, you know, I really got to gamble here, or else they'll never offer me anything. I said, well, I'll just gamble as little as I can and see what happens. Well, it turns out that the dealers were quite nice.
Except for?
Yeah. And, well, what had happened is last time I didn't like the dealers I had because they all were like these, what I call them, the silent orientals. They either don't know.
Oh, man.
Well, they either don't know. But sometimes
the views expressed on this program certainly do not represent the management of WGA.
That's true. But sometimes, you know, these people come over from Asia. And they don't speak the language.
Right.
So when they don't speak the language, all they do is count in their head. And I understand why they're quiet, but it doesn't make for an enjoyable experience for me because I'm there to play a social game.
Cool.
So anyway, so I sat down. I'm having a great time. And time is flying. It's like, now it's like noon or something. It's like I've been gambling for 5 hours. And I'm laughing and joking with people. And it was up a little bit. And then this woman came in.
One of the dealers. A different dealer.
I think
came
her
in.
Name was Anne. It was some three-letter name.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was Anne. And she was Asian. But she happened to live here for a long time. And she's going, oh, yeah, I did Paigao because I played Paigao poker.
Okay.
Which is an interesting game, but it's a very slow game because there are a lot of pushes. She goes, oh, yes, I do Paigao forever, blah, 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 blah. And she starts, and she's yelling at the pit boss, and he doesn't have to watch her. And she's dealing. And then at one point, I win a hand, and when you win a hand in Paigao, you have to pay a commission to the house.
Okay.
Now, before that, they would pay me, and if I had the 50 cents, I'd give it to her. If I didn't have the 50 cents, they'd take it out of my winnings. You know, they'd just give me the change. Well, she went ballistic. She goes, excuse me, can I have my 50 cents, my commission? I said, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were going to take it out of the thing because I didn't have the 50 cents. Oh, I cannot touch your money! I said, okay, well, you know, whatever. And she started going, I said, okay, here you go. She goes, I never touch your money, I don't know where. I said, everyone else was doing it, you can do it too. And she starts yelling at it.
This woman starts yelling at you. You want to give her her 50 cent commission.
It's over the commission. And then she goes, I don't care. It's not my money. And so I do a big stage aside so everyone can hear.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not pretending. I give the big flourish of the hand. I go, well, it seems like she does care about it, even though it's not her money, to the guy next to me. She goes, are you trying to talk to me behind my back? I said, no, I'm doing it quite in front of your face. As a matter of fact, I said, if you didn't hear that, I'd be quite surprised. You must be deaf. Don't you talk like me like that. I said, don't you talk to me like that. Don't you? Then she goes, don't you talk to me like that. And I said, don't you talk.
Come on, and didn't guards come over or something when that happened?
Well, I made sure to ask her because she was being a biatch.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Absolutely.
And as they put the time.
Asians would say biatch. So what happened?
Or Brit.
Quickly, because I want to get to the Penne story. We have no
time. We don't have time for the Penne story.
We've got to. You stop that story. You tell the Penne story.
But anyway, I must tell you that the people came. The pit boss came over.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm sorry. I said, she shouldn't touch you. I mean, she like almost hit me.
Good Lord.
And it's all because of this 50 cent thing. And I didn't want anything.
And he said that she had been problematic before.
Yeah, well, no, not only did I get him, but I got the floor manager.
Yeah.
The whole casino. And he said she's been a problem before. They get a lot of complaints, but no one's, you know. And then I said, well, fine. I said, you have a form? I'll fill it out. And he goes, oh, great. He goes, no one wants to fill out a form in Vegas. You know, no one's getting anyone in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Just in case. And I would want to get someone in trouble, except I knew I knew she was totally wrong doing the stuff she was doing. And so I said, you know, I'll fill out whatever you want. So I wrote this 2-page thing up, and I said, I signed it, and not only did they catered me, they said, oh, do you want that free comp breakfast? I said, no, I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because she's ruining our good time. Not only did they were very nice to me, and then they took her and kicked her. So they took her off the table and sent her home.
Nice.
So, and
speaking of sending home, let's do a little commercial break, and then we'll be back to close the show and see if we can tell the PNA story incredibly quickly. Do you know how easy and inexpensive it is to advertise on Dave's Gone By? You don't? Well, hey, it's even easier to find out. You can run a 30- or 60-second ad or sponsor a show segment or the whole show. Just go to davesgoneby.org to see the rates. Or call 516-295-1511, 516-295-1511. Bring your message to my audience. Advertise on Dave's Gone By.
Hello, this is Jeremy Schoenfeld, singer-songwriter and composer-lyricist. And you are listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB Freeport.
Yes, and thank you so much to Jeremy Schoenfeld, our guest in the neighborhood tonight.
He's so talented.
Please pick up a
just
copy of
you want to slap him.
37 Notebooks is his latest CD. He's doing a whole bunch of stuff. So, and also he's, let's see. Oh, we're going to be playing his song House of Love, a gospel, kind of a gospel-y song to bring us into gospel time. And that's going to be performed by Shoshana Bean, again from the CD 37 Notebooks. Before Jeff finishes that little story, I want to thank our sponsors. Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway. Go to performingartsinsider.com for more information about that. 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners on any job, big or small, copies, printing, binding, whatever you need.
You didn't tell them this, we're talking about Hewlett Minuteman Press.
That's right. Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway, next to what the shell of the Bosnia of the Lohman Shoe Store. And also Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. 516-797-3229. 516-797-3229. Want to remind everybody also that Shalom, damn it, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour is still airing Wednesday and Friday mornings twice a week on Woodbury Long Island Cable Channel 115, 7:30 in the morning. Wednesdays.
Those protesters haven't gotten it off the air yet, huh?
No, not yet. And hopefully he'll have some new shows in the fall. That would be nice.
I hear they're going to be great.
You can also catch him on MNN, that's Manhattan Neighborhood Network, if you live in Manhattan, Channel 67, Sundays at 1:30 in the afternoon, and also anytime on YouTube.com, all his episodes. I want to do, again, before we finish this up, I want to say a farewell. I'm a member of the American Theater Critics Association, as is Jeff. We're a bunch of theater critics from all over the country. And this week we lost Jack Zink. He was 61 years old. He's been a critic in South Florida. He was very, very good to the organization, handled the treasury stuff and things like that. So he was also the founder of South Florida's Carbonell Awards. So I want to say a farewell to Jack Zink. He died of cancer this past week. He was a good guy.
Good.
Sad to
also mineral.
Nicely put. Anyway, remember to go to davesgoneby.org for more information about this program and for links to older episodes of the show. Also look for the show Filler Up on WGBB on AM 1240, WGBB.com. Just look for the station schedule because they move it around all week.
Don't forget to thank your mother and father.
Mom and dad, and of course, my adorable, my beloved, and beautiful wife. Very quickly, Jeff.
Joyce, just to remind everyone, Dave's not gay.
And what's the end of your
story?
The
end of the story is they sent this woman home. These people were so accommodating. I was still hanging around and came back the next day. The pie gal table is closed. They said, you want us to open it? We'll open it for you.
That's nice.
It turns out that since my last time at Terribles, that they have a new casino manager, and they hired all new people, and they have a whole new way of doing business. And it's actually one of the nicest places I've stayed in quite a while. So I do highly recommend it. Their rooms are quite reasonable. You can get their rates at $39.49 a night.
Nice.
And I would recommend to stay there because the rooms are gorgeous. The rates are cheap. The casino is nice.
Maybe they should just change the name from Terribles.
Terribles is a terrible gas station. I think it's a Terrible Brothers or Herb's Brothers. I don't know, but it's very cute. It's Terribles. It's adorable.
Well, anyway, speaking of adorable people, we have an adorable theater critic joining us next week on Dave's Gone By.
Who is
that? Julius Novick. He's written a book about Jewish playwrights over this past century, how they affected America and how America affected them. And he's a wonderful speaker, a very smart man. Julius Novick, next week in the neighborhood. But it's time to leave the neighborhood tonight.
Dave, I must tell you that next week I'm not going to be in the neighborhood.
Oh, that's right. You're going back to Vegas.
I'm going to Vegas and then to my second cousin's wedding. So I'll be in next week I'll be in Vegas, and the weekend after that I'll be in San Luis Obispo, California.
Nice. So, I'll be stuck here.
Yeah, so I will see you in 2 weeks, where we will learn the story of Payday.
So you'll have to stay tuned for that. It's a cliffhanger. I will be back, however, next Sunday, August 31st, 2008, with the 289th episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night, a house of love.
And gone by.
Break down the door. Slip through the window. Climb down the chimney. To the house of love. Use every option. Try every lock and key. Just step inside, you'll see the house of love. Oh, baby, take a train, take a train, take an airplane, take a bus, take a boat, stay afloat. Don't stop believing in the house of love. Oh, baby, look around, look around. Up and down, from the sky to the ground, till you found it. Keep on believing in the house of love. Search every angle, check twice for any old clue. Hold what it did to you. From the sky to the ground, till you found it. Keep on.